Well, happy Sunday, church. Go ahead, get your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 5. We continue in our series through the entire Sermon on the Mount. We're just 3 weeks into it, but there's been so much already, and I'm so excited to continue all the way through the Beatitudes first and then all the way through to the end of chapter 7 of Matthew. And I think that as we continue along, we will join with the people at the end of Matthew 7 who said they were astonished at his teaching. And that's the name of our series, being astonished at the teaching of Jesus Christ from the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. Because the words that he offers are incredible. Simplicity, but yet so profound. They are astonished at the time, and all of the saints for the last 2,000 years reading this, because it gives such great and deep application that almost should be obvious to us, but the flesh is so against, but our spirit knows it's true, and he says it so clearly, and we apply these wonderful truths to our lives, and we go, wow, how is it that this wisdom's free? Today we're looking at the third beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I want us to pray and pray together that the Lord would allow us and soften our hearts to hear from him today, from his word, that we would truly understand what he's saying to us. So why don't we do that now? We will pray and read the text again, let it soak into our hearts and our minds, and then walk through a couple of points together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for your words. Lord, and I pray today, God, that we would approach your word with meekness in our hearts. That's what your word says, to approach your word with meekness. And so, God, would you teach us what that is, Lord? Would you transform our hearts to a place of meekness and then increase it, God, that we may hear from you more, that we might know you more fully. Lord, help us. Transform us, grow us, change us, Lord. Equip us. Open our ears, Lord. Soften our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's text, again, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. I do think that the Beatitudes are given to us in a specific order for a specific reason. I think that Jesus preaches them, all eight of these Beatitudes, in order, and we should take note of that. So this is the third Beatitude, and we've already seen 2 weeks ago, we saw that blessed are the poor in spirit. And what we understand by that is that being poor in spirit is coming before the Lord knowing that I have absolutely nothing to offer. That when it comes to spiritual things, I have nothing to give. I'm a beggar in the spiritual world. I come before the Lord and say, God, all I have is open arms because I have nothing to offer you. God, I need you to fill me. I need you to give me salvation and everything else. And so we come with these poor spirits, and then we see that it's blessed are those who mourn. Because the one who is poor in spirit then is mourning over the sin that has caused them to be poor in spirit. They mourn over their own sin, and we mourn over the sin of the world. And it's the person who is poor in spirit, it's the person who then is mourning in this way that then is able to be meek. Jesus is giving us these beatitudes, these right ways of living in order. But what is meekness? What is meekness? What is it to be meek? Do I even want meekness? I think the way that we use the word today, we might say, I'm not meek. Why would I want to be meek? What advantage is there to being meek. Maybe some people are just more meek than others, right? It's a personality trait. My brother, super meek. Me, not so much. That's okay. We're all different. Dr. Lloyd-Jones summed up meekness very well. He said meekness is essentially a true view of oneself. Isn't that great? Expressing itself in an attitude and conduct with respect to others. He goes on, the man who is truly meek is the one who is truly amazed that God and man can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. This makes him gentle, humble, sensitive, patient in all his dealings with others. So meekness isn't just a character trait you're born with. Meekness is just a realization of reality. That I am poor in spirit, that I should mourn. And because of these things, then meekness is what pours out of us. And so to answer the question, do I want to be meek? The answer should be, at least for the believer in Jesus Christ, a resounding yes. Yes, I want to be meek. I want to be known for my meekness. In fact, Jesus here is saying that blessed are the meek. And if Jesus is handing out blessings for something, then I want to be that something. Being meek is the attitude of the person who has truly been transformed by the power of God. This is for all of us. This is for all of us. So let's dive into it. We have 2 points today. Each point has 4 subpoints, all right? To give further explanation. They'll all be up on the screen for you. But let's get into it a bit more. And as we've begun all of our points so far in this series, these ones are no different. They start in this way. Lord, teach me. He's teaching, isn't he? So Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me what real meekness is. Lord, teach me. Teach me what real meekness is. The first subpoint is this: meekness is gentleness. That's what real meekness is. Meekness is gentleness. As we said, the beautiful display of meekness in your life will only come when you've been broken over your sin and you've been mourning over your sin. The first 2 Beatitudes really happen in private, right? To be poor in spirit is to be before the Lord and poor in spirit. To mourn over your sin is really something that happens between you and the Lord. But as those things happen, then it transforms your heart, and the meekness that the Lord provides then starts to permeate through your life and all your dealings. You begin to walk in meekness. And the reality and the knowledge of our own sin will cause you to be broken, and that brokenness will cause you to gentleness, especially with others. And doesn't that make sense? That if you know the depths of your own sin, if you know your position before the Lord, if you truly mourn over your sin, that you would be gentle to all those around you, because the Lord has been so gentle with you. Part of the Spirit's fruit in you is gentleness, and true gentleness will come from a heart of meekness, not a fake gentleness. Not gentleness that we just put on, that we pretend to get something we want, right? Okay, hey, you're going into a meeting with someone, just be a little gentle, and then if you're gentle for the next 20 minutes, you can get what you're looking for, right? All right, well, I have to just be gentle with my wife for a little bit here, because if I'm not, I'm going to hear about it for the rest of the evening. It's not what we're talking about, and I don't recommend that. Instead, actually be transformed, right? Not an action or an act of gentleness, but true gentleness that comes from a heart of transformation. You see, when we're truly mourning over our sin, the softening of the heart washes away the harsh and cruel flesh. And a gentle spirit will come over you. A gentle spirit will come over you. I really had to work on this personally. I was writing the sermon. I'm like, I better give an example about myself because this is, you know, the work of God's sanctification goes through us piece by piece, right? And this is something I didn't even understand until I got married. You see, I grew up as the youngest of three boys. There was nothing gentle about my childhood, and I was generally the end of every hit and the bottom of every joke, right? So it only got worse as we got older, right? The harshness in the language probably increased, and then I got married, and if you know my wife, the most gentle, sweet, sensitive person God maybe has ever made. And I quickly found out I can't talk to her the same way I talked to my brothers growing up. That was a wake-up call. Maybe if I had a sister, I'd blame my parents for that. But I had to quickly learn that there was something going on in my heart that caused me to not be gentle. The Lord was so kind to reveal that. And the medicine for that is not just pretending to be kind to my wife. It's going before the Lord and going, God, why am I like this? It's because I'm proud. It's because I'm not poor in spirit. It's because I haven't mourned over my sin. My inclination is not to gentleness, it's to harshness. So Lord, change me. Change me. And he's still thankfully working on me. You see, we can ask ourselves a few questions then, and they can be hard questions, but just to test ourselves to see how we're doing in this is am I a domineering person? Right? Do I enjoy the opportunity to control others? That's not meekness. That's not gentleness. Am I harsh with my words? Am I cutting when I say things? Not to lift others up, but to maybe to bring them down. How do I treat people who treat me poorly? Is my first response feeling a sense of entitlement to treat them poorly? Or am I given to gentleness even to those who despise me? You see, the one Jesus is talking to here, blessed are the meek, is the one who responds in gentleness. And meekness is gentleness, and it's also this. Meekness is humility. Meekness is humility. And it really makes a lot of sense, really. All these things go together, but it makes a lot of sense if it's the result of being poor in spirit and mourning over your sin, because you know who you are. And how can you not be humbled if you come before a holy and perfect righteous God with all of your inadequacies and sin? It should be very humbling. It should be very humbling. And so the meek are not proud. The meek are humble. Humble to the core. But here's the key. We need to be humble about the right things. Have you ever heard of the pastor and author G.K. Chesterton? Over 100 years ago, he wrote this. He said, what we suffer from today is humility in the wrong places. Isn't that interesting? I think he's still right. He wrote that in 1908. I think it's more true today. He goes on to explain that man was meant to be doubtful about himself, but undoubting about the truth, and that has been reversed. He's saying that right now we're so full of confidence of ourselves and we doubt all of the truth. We're so sure of ourselves and how I feel and how I think and the ideas that I've had, and we neglect or ignore what's been written. There's been a reversal. You see, really, the meek person, the one who's come before the Lord in the poorness of spirit and in the mourning of their sin, who's being filled with meekness, this person has no confidence in themselves. They only have confidence in the truth. They know what happens when they're left to their own devices. They know the sinfulness of their own flesh. They know that if they walk down their own path, it would only lead to death. Chesterton was so correct. And Christians, we cannot be conformed to the way of the world, who now say things like, right, this is what our world says. That's my truth. That might be your truth, but that's not my truth. What an arrogant thing to say. What the antithesis of meekness is that sentence. The antithesis of meekness is, well, I have my truth and you have your truth. What it's saying is that I am the arbitrator of truth, that I can create truth within myself. That's not someone who's poor in spirit. That's someone who's filled with pride. No. The meek person humbly goes before the Lord and says, God, I have nothing to offer. I need your word. I need your truth. I need you to fill me. Now, when I say you don't have any confidence in yourself, when I say that you don't think too highly of yourself, it's not a self-loathing. It's just putting ourselves in the proper place, understanding that it is God who is the arbitrator of truth. It is God who gives us life. We don't hate ourselves, of course not, but we love the truth. We put our confidence in God. You know, maybe we can get our minds around that, right? Here's another good check here on the humble side of this meekness. Right, we can get behind that. We can say, you know what, you're right. I know my own sin. No one knows my sin like I know it, right? I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace. I hope that we would say that and confess that. And when we say that, we say, you know, that's looking pretty good. But how about when someone else says it about you, right? Now we find out if that humility and meekness is really going to shine through. Dr. Lloyd-Jones said this: how much more difficult is it to allow other people to say things like that about me? I instinctively resent it, right? We all of us prefer to condemn ourselves than allow someone else to condemn us. He's so right. It's like, hey, how dare you talk about me that way? I talk about me that way, right? But the humble, meek heart hears criticism of themselves, hears their sin being pointed out, and says, yeah, you see it too? That is who I am. That is what I do. But in Christ, I'm saved. How many marriages would be saved? How many marriages would be saved if one of the people in the marriage, when their sin is pointed out, would say, yeah, you're right. You know what? You're right. I can learn from that. Thank you for pointing it out. You see, meekness and this humility then is a very teachable spirit. Knowing that there's more to learn, having a correct view of self in all circumstances, that we are sinners, that we're not God, that we need to grow. Meekness is gentleness, meekness is humility, and Here's something meekness is not. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Sounds like weakness, but it's not weakness. Just as we're not going to give full confidence in ourselves, we are going to give full confidence in God and in His Word. We are not strong in ourselves, but we are strong in Christ. The meek are not pushovers. They're full of conviction and certainty. Meekness is not weakness. In fact, strength is the only thing, and meekness is actually, the only thing that is really strong for us. Because in our meekness, we have the Lord. Think about that. As we said before, meekness is just being honest with who we are, right? And so if we are people who are poor in spirit, which is just a fact, we have nothing to offer the Lord, if we are people who should be mourning over our sin because we are sinners, then what is there to be strong in? The only thing that we can be strong in is the only thing that is actually strong, which is the truth. Meekness isn't weakness, it's the power of God working through you. I remember a few years back, maybe 20 years ago or so, there was this big fad in dog ownership to buy chihuahuas. You remember this? Everyone owned a chihuahua. I had like three cousins with chihuahuas all of a sudden. These little hairless, little rat-looking dogs. I like them. They're nice. They're nice. You get to know them. They're kind of sweet. They weigh about 2.5 pounds. They're like a pound of butter in your hand. But wow, those dogs are yappy, right? They just, what they lack in size, they make up for in vocals. They're so yappy and so annoying, yet they can't do anything. I mean, you really could just, it would be the easiest. There's no threat. There's no threat, but they are so yappy, right? And then you go alongside a big dog, right? I had a friend who had one of those Labradors. It was the size of me. A 200-pound dog. Didn't say a word. Quiet. Gentle giant. You see that? The big dog knows the strength. It doesn't have to say much, right? It's the one who's actually quite small who has to yap a lot. There's nothing weak about this big dog, yet they don't bark too much. And there's nothing weak about the meek. They just know where their strength is. The strength they have in the Lord is greater than all things. The Lord that is inside of them, that fills them with the confidence of His glory and His greatness, causes them to be able to be gentle and humble and helpful without imposing themselves. Meekness is gentleness, it's humility, it's strength. And all of these things are displayed in self-control. Meekness is self-control, really. And so the question for ourselves is then, how do I display self-control? If you were to give yourself an evaluation of your ability to control yourself, how would it go? Do you get angry easily? Are you self-defensive? Are you offended often? Well, what's the solution? What's the solution? It's not to pretend, again, it's not to pretend to be meek. It's to be transformed by the gospel. to surrender everything to the Lord in the poverty of spirit, to mourn over our sin before the Lord, and then we will grow in meekness, which will cause us to have a right view of ourselves before God and before other people, allowing ourselves to not be offended, to not take great offense to all of these things, to allow us to act in kindness and gentleness and humility, and in a quiet strength, knowing that the Lord has saved me, and that's all I need. It allows us to control our anger. It allows us to control any outbursts. It allows us to control our emotions, which so often can lead us astray. You see, meekness gives a self-control because we fully rely on the grace of God and not seeking retribution or vengeance for ourselves. Hopefully that gives us a good understanding of meekness. I was reading one paper that was about 50 pages long with writing about this big on just meekness. I think that was, who was I reading? I can't remember. There's so much that can be said about meekness, but hopefully we have a understanding of what it is now, but we need to move to the second part of the verse. It was Matthew Henry. That was Matthew Henry. He writes a lot. Matthew Henry, and he wrote pages and pages and pages on meekness, and you could go on for a long time, but we need to move on to the blessing as well, right? Because we're here for blessing today, right? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The blessing is this inheritance. Why are we meek? Well, because the Lord has transformed us, and the blessing of that is this inheritance. So our second point is this: Lord, teach me the blessing of meekness. Maybe we've already seen that being meek is a bit of a blessing, and there's more to the blessing and how we will be able to enjoy so much of what the Lord has for us. A is this: meekness allows us to hear from God. That's the first blessing. Meekness will allow us to hear from God. How difficult it is for the proud and the offended to hear a word from the Lord. But the meek will hear from the Lord and learn and be blessed. The meek can receive wisdom. If you ever have the chance, flip over to Numbers 12 and read a little bit about Moses. There's this cool story where Aaron and Miriam are complaining about Moses. And in verse 3 of Numbers 12, it says, Moses was the most meek person on the entire earth. You're like, okay, I know where this is going. And then God comes and shows up and starts speaking to Aaron and Miriam and kind of laying out the reality of the situation. And God says to them, what are you saying about Moses? Prophets that you're going to have, I'm going to show up to them in dreams and speak to them in riddles and that, but Moses, I speak face to face, mouth to mouth. You see, in our meekness, we can approach the Lord and the Lord speaks. In meekness, if you're ready to receive from the Lord, you can open up his word and he can speak to you. James 1, verse 21 says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, right? The opposite of being poor in spirit, the opposite of mourning over your sin. Put all of that rampant wickedness and filthiness aside. And he says, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word. You see, this is how we hear from God. This is how we receive from God. This is how we can grow in our knowledge of God. What a blessing! What a blessing! So the question we have to ask ourselves, and I'm sure everyone here has had a time in their lives where they've read the word and they feel dry. You felt that? You're like, I'm in a dry spell. I read the word, there's nothing there for me, I'm not receiving anything. And listen, the problem isn't the word of God, okay? Just to be honest with ourselves, the problem isn't the implanted word of God, it's perfect. If there's something going on between what it's saying and how it's being filtered into our hearts, where's the problem? It's me, right? I'm the problem. Because I'm not approaching the word in meekness. I must do what James says and put away all of this rampant wickedness that's going on in my mind and my heart, and put away all filthiness. Come before the Lord broken with a contrite heart, poor in spirit, mourn over my sins. Lord, indwell in me, change me, help me. And if you truly can see your sin for what it is, then the Lord will be able to speak to you through his word. Receive with meekness. What a blessing it is, because we will be able to hear from God. B, meekness gives rest to our souls. Meekness gives rest to our souls. You see, we come to Jesus who is ready to receive us, and we find rest. Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You see, as we hear from the word of God, as we come to Jesus, as we put our anxieties on him, as we put our trust in him, as we receive the word from him, the gentle and the one who is lowly in heart, the one who then will comfort our souls, we will find rest in him. Truly, that's what blessing is. Like a ship anchored in a rushing stream of water, the meek person is calm while the world is panicked. And they are calm because they are anchored to Jesus. See, meekness is the position to help others, or meekness allows us to help others. Meekness allows us to help others. Now, this is a community of the church kind of blessing, right? We want to be a part of a church, then, that is meek individually so that we're in a place that helps others. Galatians 6, verse 1 says this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you be tempted to. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." You see, meekness allows us to help others, and therefore it's a blessing when we're in a community of meekness. It will be the meek who walk in a spirit of gentleness who are able and seek to restore their brother. It's those who are poor in spirit, mourning over sin. A community that is poor in spirit, mourning over sin, and has meekness in their character that then will help others. Lastly, meekness is the path to inheritance. It's more specifically, it's what Christ speaks about here, inheritance, right? The meek shall inherit the earth. Now, what on earth does this mean? It's kind of confusing, right? You're like, I thought we didn't want the earth. I thought we were supposed to not be conformed to the world. Now you're giving us the world? Help us. Help me. So what is he saying here? What does this mean? I think it's an encouragement for us in a form of a promise of that future things are ours, regardless of the difficulty we're in today. What he's saying is, listen, you can be meek right now because everything's already yours. Everything's yours because you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That's how Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21 and 22. He says, all things are yours. He's telling people to not boast. He's saying, what are you boasting about? Everything's already yours. All things are yours. All the earth is yours. What are you boasting about this or about this or about that? Listen, you're in Christ. All things are yours. You have no need to boast about anything. And here he's saying, listen, living a life of meekness might be difficult or might go against what we think brings success in this world, but you need to know something. It's already yours. The meek inherit the earth. The earth is already yours. Why Jesus can say this? Because the earth is his. And if you are his, he gives you all things. Jesus here too is echoing Psalm 37. And I think this is so helpful for us. I would encourage you to go read Psalm 37 to really grasp this concept. The psalmist goes through a bunch of things. And he's really telling us all of the right things to do and the things to stay away from. He says, don't be envious of wrongdoers, right? What a temptation that is for us, to be envious of those who do evil and seem like they're getting so much success. He says in Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. He's saying, do those things. Don't pursue the world. Don't pursue wickedness. Wait on the Lord. Find your delight in him. Don't fret over the one who prospers in his way. You see these people doing all this evil, and you're like, look, the earth is theirs. They're getting all the stuff. They're getting all the things. They have all the things that I thought I would want. He's saying, listen, don't fret over the one who prospers in his way. Refrain from evil. Then he says this, verses 9 to 11, Psalm 37. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at this place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. What is he saying? He's saying, look, don't put your hope in the things of this world. Put your hope in me and you will have all things. Basically, don't worry about the future. Trust in the Lord. This is Jesus' encouragement to us today. Look, when you're poor in spirit and you're mourning over your sin and it just seems, you're like, is that who I want to be? Someone who's poor in spirit and mourning? He's like, yes. You know why? Because you'll be meek, and the meek are the ones who inherit the earth. This is the encouragement to us. I'm going to read this little passage. I think it was so beautiful, written from John Piper, who closes off this section as well. He says this, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, sitting at his feet on the mount this morning, that is, if you trust him and commit your way to him and wait patiently for him, God has already begun to help you and will help you more. And the primary way that he will help you is to assure your heart that you are a fellow heir of Jesus Christ and that the world and everything in it is yours. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not freely give us all things with him? All things. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the encouragement in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that even though we have nothing, in you, God, we have everything. Lord, and we come before you today acknowledging that in ourselves, Lord, we have nothing. So, Lord, allow that then to have a massive effect on how we view ourselves, that we would view ourselves rightly before you, that we would view ourselves rightly before others, and just be so thankful and blessed that we are treated in any way that is kind. Lord, we thank you, God, for the blessing of the Sermon on the Mount. And God, I pray that these words, that we would understand them, that we would understand what it is to walk in meekness. Help us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.